When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now.
The Mariners are 4-7. There's been some good to start the season. Ty France, 3-for-4 yesterday. However, there's also been a lot of bad, and fans are upset. Now, if you are a baseball fan, a longtime baseball fan, you know that patience is a virtue with the game. That's how it's always been and how it always will be. But on April 9th, you're also looking at a Mariners team that's disappointed a lot of people. So are you team it's too early, or are you team I got to get some stuff off my chest with this team? Let's go to line number one, Nelson calling from Kent. Nelson, how are you feeling about the Mariners?
Well, oh, man, it's really frustrating. I had a lot of doubts coming into this season. I know a lot of people were high on this team. It's not any surprise if you follow me on Twitter or if you've heard me call in that I'm probably Mr. Negative. But I think Jerry Dipoto continues to build a team that has about the same feeling every year. Except this team's floor happens to be a lot worse because he's relying on a lot of guys that have a lot of injury history. And now, I mean, I was already worried about the bullpen coming into this year because you've depleted it so much over the last few years with trading Swanson for 1 year of Tio, trading Seawald, and now Brash and Santos are hurt. But I got to say, I'm thinking about this team and I'm thinking about this offense, which – when people say patience is a virtue, this isn't just April 9th. This is 3 years of pedestrian offense. And I'm tired of hearing about, oh, they hit the ball hard this game, or they're WRC plus. I don't care about 100-mile-an-hour outs. I care about pitches down the middle, going over the fence like the other team, or line drives into the gap. And I think about this offense, and I think about Julio and his early struggles. And it's, I expect better out of Julio. He needs to be better. He cannot be bad for a whole month every single year when we're missing the playoffs by one or two games. But at the same time, I think about other superstars that I think Julio can ascend to, a Ronald Acuna, a Fernando Tatis. And I look at those players and the teams that they had when they first came up. Acuna had Freddie Freeman in his prime. He had Josh Donaldson around him, an energetic player. He had 37 home runs. Tatis had Manny Machado in his prime. He had Eric Hosmer, who's been to two World Series and won one. And Julio, there's no leadership in this offense. Like, we're really missing the Canos, the Cruz, the type of veterans who can, like, when things go bad, everybody just looks bad, and there's no swagger. It just looks pathetic. And this is where I'll criticize Scott. They look soft, and it's a reflection of Scott because Scott is kind of soft. Now, I think Scott over the last 3 years has gotten the most out of this team. He's gotten to, in my eyes, an 81 win ball club to ascend to 88-90 wins, which in two out of the 3 years wasn't even good enough. But I don't know if the message is wearing thin. I think part of it is just the fact that they don't have the players. They needed to do more, and they refused to spend, and it's really showing. And I think we could be in for a 2010-type season when you had Cliff Lee, Felix Hernandez, Doug Fister, Jason Vargas, Eric Bedard, great pitching, and we lost 100 games. And this team, if they don't get a turnaround fast, look at this schedule coming up. They could be 10 games under 500 in a month.
No, we got you, baby. Hey, we feel you 100%. I think it's a few people on the text lines are feeling you too.
Someone said, why is Nelson yelling at me?
But if you heard Nelly before, you know he's going to come on and he's going to speak passionately and do his thing. But I'm with you 100%. It needs some leadership. You need service to challenge these guys, and you just need some production. I was in the camp to where I was a bit more optimistic about this team than I was last year's team because I bought into how they're building this team. Nelly, man, we appreciate the fire call as usual, my man.
All right, let's get to another caller here. Bryant calling from Lacey. Bryant, how are you feeling about the Mariners to start the season?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I'm going to be a bit of a line straddler here, and I'm going to say, yes, it is far too early to worry. But at the same time, things have been pretty worrisome. When you consider how this team was reshaped in the offseason, we shipped a lot of power out of town in order to strike out less, and now we're striking out just about as often as we always have, and we have no power at all. So, that's concerning. But at the same time, do you really expect Julio to have zero home runs for the entire year? Do you expect the rest of the roster to have absolutely no power? Mitch Garver, Haniger is going to lean into a few. So I am concerned that the things that they attempted to address in reshaping this roster have not yet manifested, but it's early. Starting pitching is not going to be this bad for the whole season. The bullpen has reinforcements on the way, and Santos and Brash. So am I disappointed with the start? Absolutely. Am I concerned that it's going to be a season-long affair? I can't say that I am.
All right. Thanks for the call, Bryant.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much where I'm at right now. Same place where my man Brian is at. It's like, all right, well, they're not the team that they said they were going to be. And honestly, how often have the Mariners been the team that they said they're going to be? So I think that's why people are panicking right now, or could panic, or have concern, I should say, at least with Brian's situation. Be who you said you were going to be. It's
from
that simple.
Bryant to Ryan in Houston. Ryan calling from Texas on line three. Ryan, how are you feeling about the Mariners?
Man, I hate to back this up, you know, kind of back to back, but I'm a little bit of a fence sitter. Like, I've loved baseball all my life, so I clearly understand that April is never sky is falling. However, it does turn into the same old thing, right? We were disappointed in the offseason because they didn't add any bats that we know can consistently contribute, that we need to kind of surround Julio to get him to ascend to what he can be, and the rest of the guys to do that. Cal expressed it at the end of last season. They didn't do it, but they told us it was going to be different, and you fall into that. How am I supposed to believe it's different till you show me?
All right, thanks for the call, Ryan. And I agree with Ryan. I'm kind of the same. I know that that's not the point of this segment, but I do that same thing of kind of balancing back and forth. And it's because there's one part of it that's being a baseball fan, which is knowing that it's too early and that you can't even look at this. None of the stats matter. Like, the Pirates have like 9 wins. Like, nothing matters right now. But as a Mariners fan, you've been through a lot of trials and tribulations and disappointment. And so that is part of you and sticks with you, and that does come out early.
It will always be a part of you.
It will always be a part of you. Let's go to line four. Eugene calling from Seattle. Eugene, how are you feeling about the Mariners?
Oh, pretty. Not very good. I think we're about 3 years too late with this management, this ownership. I'm tired of the trades we're doing. We're constantly
Eugene, where are you?
Oh, I'm delivering.
Okay. All right, thank you for the call. Eugene said we're about 3 years too late. He's been concerned for the last 3 seasons. Now, I will say in one of those seasons, he made the playoffs.
You did.
And the other two, you fell just short. But you did have slow starts. So I think that's what Eugene's looking at. And you don't want that slow start to be something that comes back to bite you later.
Yeah, because when you're sitting there, you got 89, 90 wins, and you need a 91, 92. You look back at moments like this and say, that's why you don't say it's too early. Because you're going to get in this situation, and you're going to look back at series you felt like you could have competed in, and you're going to regret. So, yes, natural feeling.
All right, next caller here. Let's jump to Byron calling from Pasco. Byron, how are you feeling about the Mariners?
Hey. It's not too early. It's not, no need to worry yet. But I go by the saying that you get what you paid for. And they haven't paid a whole lot to get a team. We've been listening to this for how many years? We get the same canned speech at the beginning of the season from management. and you get tired of it. They got to put the best foot forward here pretty soon. I mean, it's been years and years. Can't keep going like this.
I absolutely agree. Thanks, Byron, saying, hey, you get what you, paid,
what you
for.
Pay for.
I will say that,
I like that
while
though.
I have not heard Byron is the first one to mention payroll. Mm-hmm. It's a common take on the Mac and Jack's text line. I know you see it too.
Mm-hmm. You get what you paid for. You paid for a team that is not going to overwhelm you with power. You paid for a team that is supposed to be hitting for contact and putting the ball in play. So you're not really even getting what you paid for at this point, at least. So that's I like that approach, or I like that way of thinking, because you can't expect this team. No one expected this team to come out and win 6, 7, 8 in a row and have all this power. But what you did expect was for the arms to be okay and the contact to be on point.
All right, let's go to Steve in Seattle. Steve, how are you feeling about the Mariners?
I'm not feeling great. I actually live in Boise, but I'm in Seattle for the day. You know, we've all been Mariner fans for a long time. And then with this organization as a fan, competing for playoff spots is good enough, right? It makes it interesting. It makes it fun. Mm-hmm. And I think what happened was when you traded Eugenio, I mean, you guys have been to the games. He was on the scoreboard. He was probably choosing the music in the clubhouse. He had the cool haircut, the big smile.
Big culture leader,
Yeah, when you traded Eugenio and you got rid of Teo and you let Kelenic go, and I know Kelenic was a little fiery, but Teo was a veteran. You just got rid of all the culture. So then you left JP and you left Cal and you left Julio here. Like, where are my brothers? You know, the way that I looked at it in the offseason, we needed to fix second base. And we did that with Polanco. But the other thing is this sport now is built on athleticism, right? The bases are as big as a pizza box. Safeco, well, T-Mobile is the biggest park in the league. We should be winning with speed and defense. And we don't have speed and we don't have defense. Mm. And that's just what I didn't understand about what management did. It's like we made the playoffs. Then we missed the playoffs by one game. Then we completely dismantled the culture and replaced what athleticism we did have with no speed and no defense. And the Haniger thing is really killing me because everyone's asking for him to get days off. It's like he's on a 3-year deal where he makes $15 million a year. Can he just play 140 games in right field? You know, so I think culturally and from an athleticism standpoint, we just didn't build a team. Management didn't build a team that fit the ballpark. So I was disappointed in that. Thanks.
Love it, Steve. Thank you so much for the call.
Shh. What was his name?
Steve.
Steve's on point. Steve coaches his son's little league team.
Let me tell you, maybe he's
a varsity coach at a high school somewhere.
Yeah.
Because what he talked about was culture and the type of player needed. You have to build a team for Seattle, for T-Mobile, and bring in guys who fit the culture. Culture will win you one or two games.
Mm-hmm.
And one or two games would have got us into the playoffs.
Well said. And well said by Steve, obviously. Let's go to Mark in Port Orchard. Mark, how are you feeling about the Mariners?
Well, I am feeling pretty good about them, actually. I'm not all concerned about the start. I look back a few seasons ago, we were 13-2 to kick it off, or 14-1 or whatever it was, and everybody was talking World Series that year. Look what happened. The wheels fell off the bus. Why is everybody so concerned? If the outlook back then was that we were going to be so good, why is the outlook now that we're going to be so bad?
Wait, say that. So you're saying in 2019, this team started hot and then ended up being horrible. Why are people now panicked when a team that's much better on paper is starting out slow? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
I hear you, Mark. This early in the season.
It's early.
All right. Thanks for the call, Mark. I was waiting for someone to have Mark's take and to call in and say, y'all, don't forget that, what was his name? Bowers. Who was, Curtis, you remember who that guy was?
Jake Bowers,
part of that squad where they were just like hot to start the season. And we were like, oh my God, is this going to be it? Is this going to be the roster that does it? And that team ended up being god awful.
Mm-hmm.
So good callback. Fair point there.
Yeah, because there are peaks and valleys in a baseball season, in any season, but especially baseball because you play the most games.
Mm-hmm.
So right now he's saying, like, we're just in a valley right now. You know, the valley, you know, it doesn't last forever. You get to climb the top of the mountain, get to the top and see what happens. So that's a healthy way of looking at it.
All right, last caller here. We're going to go to John in Bellingham. John, how are you feeling about the Mariners? Is it too early or are you ready to complain?
Oh, no, I'm not complaining. It's as expected. Mm-hmm. You know, the Major League Baseball has changed so much that to keep up with all the moving parts, and the amount of money it generates, it's a kind of a whole new genre. But it still comes down to hitting the ball with a bat. And number one, we got on our team, number one is Ty France. Now, Ty France studied under Tony Gwynn. And Tony Gwynn is the only one who ever tied Honus Wagner for the most batting title. So Ty France is not just your ordinary player. It only takes one guy in the room who knows what's going on, and all the rest will learn. So just be patient. It'll be fine. The one thing that I do kind of question is the catchers handling our young pitchers. Now, Cal Raleigh can do it, but I'm not sold on this Zavala guy.
Both times Sebi Zavala. Started,
Yeah, both times he started with our young pitchers, they blew up for 6 or 8 runs in the first 3 innings, and he was calling repeatedly, you know, with all the tech nowadays. You know, the play-by-play and all that on the iPhone. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing. You just see exactly what's going on. And it's like George couldn't get his splitter down, you know, in his last bad start, George Kirby.
Mm-hmm.
And Zavala kept calling for it at the crux points. Well, when a guy's wrestling with his command, and command is everything,
mm-hmm.
With these massive power hitters, you don't just keep leaning on it. You go, okay, we'll table that till the 4th or 5th inning after we get a few, you know, get in a rhythm.
All right. Thank
you. Anyway, bye.
Oh, sorry. Oh, no, John, I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm 2 minutes
He's
over the
crushed
clock.
Him.
I'm sorry, John. I am glad that we ended this with John having a very measured approach, mm-hmm. even though I think there's plenty to point to and be concerned about and be frustrated about. I like John's call being our last call here. John, I'm so sorry.
Did John dirty.
I really did. That's
on
okay.
Curtis's birthday. How dare you?
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. Well, I was 2 minutes over, so I was going to be like, all right, John, thank you for calling. And then I messed up his whole day. John, it was a good call. I was going to tell you it was a good call. Thank you so much. And thank you to all of our callers for calling in today to talk about this one. We are switching gears, heading to the station for Hype Train. Let's go. Sticking with the Mariners for our first one here, only team in baseball to not score 6 or more runs in a game. It changes today. The Mariners finally do it. That's your first Hype Train. They will score 6 runs against the Blue Jays today.
You've given me nothing to really believe in that you'll get this done.
Well,
give me a couple late home runs, you know? But you know, because you know how I do. It's all about the universe. There was an eclipse yesterday. Did you know that? So because of
that.
I'm going to believe and say, they get her done because we had an eclipse yesterday. Simple as that.
Trying to look into the universe to be like, well.
It's in the stars.
It was written in the stars, written in the sun and the moon and the planet, that the Mariners would score 6 runs. Bump is boarding the train. Curtis, are you?
Well, to Bump's point, I believe Mercury is in retrograde, so that means nothing. Chris Bassett, this means something. Toronto starting pitcher Chris Bassett this season has struggled. ERA of 7.71 through 2 starts, a whip of 2.14. In both games that he has started, the opposing team has scored 8 runs. That continues tonight. The Mariners surpass 6 runs for the first time this season. You heard it here first. Boarding that hype train.
All right. I am going to board this hype train. Now, I called for 5 runs in all 3 games for that series against Milwaukee. They got 5 runs in 2 of them. Unfortunately, they did not win the series, so I didn't tack on and a win, which I'm going to do this one. They will score 6 runs today and get the win. I'm going to throw that on there, too, so I am boarding this train. Next train in. 2025 is the year of the three-peat. If you're boarding the train, you are saying that both these things will happen. The UConn men will win the men's tournament, and the Chiefs will win. Both teams, three-peating.
Man, so UConn has about 3 guys who are going to be drafted in the top, like, 30 or 40. So they're going to have to, you know, replenish, refuel that whole deal that Gatorade has going. The Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes. So because I like the swag of the head coach and I think he's going to be able to recruit, and because I believe in Patrick Mahomes, I'm going to go ahead and say, yep, 2025, it's going down. I'm on the train. Holla at your boy.
All right. The hype train is that 2025 is the year of the three-peat. 2 teams are looking to three-peat as champs. It'll be the UConn men's basketball team, who were just the first repeat champs since the 2007 Gators, and the Chiefs, who were the first repeat champs since the Patriots. Both teams looking for a three-peat, and it'll happen in 2025. Bump is boarding. Curtis, are you?
God, I think neither has happened. Well, it hasn't happened in Super Bowl history, and it hasn't happened in college basketball since John Wooden's UCLA teams to see a three-peat. Mm-hmm. So if it does happen, it's going to be the rarest of rare for both. I don't see it happening. I think UConn's probably going to have a tougher time three-peating just simply because of the amount of turnover in college basketball. So I will not board this train.
Someone said Curtis just doomed us to getting shut out. And someone else said, nah. Good one, Stacy. We're not getting six runs. Well, I said it, so it's happening. I'm going to go ahead and board. Why not? I think it's virtually impossible for this to happen in sports. It just really does not happen for a good reason. Winning is already hard enough in itself, and winning three times is especially so. But it's fun to board. I like this hype train, so I'm going to go ahead and will it into existence. Even though everyone loves an underdog story, I happen to like both these teams. So next up, let's go two more. The pitch clock is behind pitcher injuries. We are seeing an uptick in some ugly injuries to start this season, and it is because of the pitch clock. Bump.
Sorry, my wife texted me. She's on her way to Gig Harbor. I was distracted. Please say that again.
The pitch clock is the biggest driver behind pitcher injuries to start the season.
No, it's not the biggest driver. I think it plays a role, but not as big as a role as guys just like Verlander said, man, is throwing harder and throwing those all-speed pitches and putting stress on that elbow and that shoulder. So, no, not the biggest, but it's a factor.
Someone said, why are you making predictions for a game that won't play until next year? Because I come up with five predictions two times a week for an entire year, and sometimes you got to get creative. Curtis, the pitch clock is behind. I'm just on one today. You know why? I'll complain about it during the break. The pitch clock is behind pitcher injuries. Are you boarding? Bump is not, even though he can see it being a factor. He can see the reasoning behind it, but he doesn't think that's the sole driver.
Yeah, I don't think it is either, so I'm not going to board. I think it's just this love affair that pitchers have with velocity nowadays. If you're not throwing 95 to 100, you're not an effective pitcher anymore. And, you know, back in the day, if you were sitting at 90, 91, 92, you were still pretty effective, but that's no longer the case. You got to be throwing hard. And I think just that added emphasis on velocity, I think, is the biggest culprit in why we're seeing so many elbow injuries.
Yeah, I also don't think it is. I actually really bought into what Justin Verlander was talking about with the increase in home runs the league was seeing in 2016, that already you had players being specialized from very young ages to throw even faster, and then that only accelerated that because all of a sudden you were competing with an increase in offense in the league. And this is exactly the result you're seeing. The human body is not meant to do what these starters do. Last one in. I kept it a fun one. Kept it food related. Cinnamon rolls are the best pastry. I don't know what made me think of this.
Yeah.
Just was really feeling. You know what? Maybe it's because Curtis loves Cinnabon and it's his birthday. I don't know.
Maybe that's it.
Who doesn't love Cinnabon?
Well, I mean, Cinnabon's fine.
Wow. Okay.
But are cinnamon rolls the best pastry? I'm already telling you I'm not boarding this train. Bump.
Cinnabon, man. When I was growing up, we just called it Cinnabon. I don't know if that's just a regional thing. But yeah, I think it is, man. Especially once you get to the middle, it's the best part.
Best pastry.
Yeah, the middle.
Get to the middle.
Okay, I just want to, I need to inject some sanity into this. You have so many choices for pastries. I am talking.
Yeah, so many aren't a cinnamon roll.
Okay, but you have donuts, all right?
Sure.
You've got. I searched pastry and I'm on the Wikipedia page of a bunch of pastries that are not things that I know about.
You know what's a lot of fun with cinnamon rolls?
Pastries.
Is when you open them in the can, they like kind of explode on you.
Yeah.
That's a thrill.
Cinnamon rolls are the best pastries. Almond croissants
put the
are
frosting
a choice.
On that almond thing
croissant.
Too.
Almond croissants are delicious.
Almond
Starbucks
the
used
best?
To have an almond
what?
Croissant that was
I
injected with like an almond
you
filling,
are and
it was
ruining
truly,
your argument.
No, it was truly it was so
this.
Amazing. You would
that's
not expect it was so.
Stuff there,
no, it's
Stacey.
Not. No, it's not.
That's
no, it's not. No, it's not.
Almond, you know, almond croissant.
Our cinnamon rolls the best pastries. That's the hype train. Bump is boarding. I don't know why. Curtis, are you?
I mean. When you look at their resume, it's hard to argue against it. Cinnamon rolls, I think, might be the best pastry. So, yeah, I'll board that train.
Scones.
Nah.
Pies.
Nah.
Cheese rolls.
I consider pies to be more of just
I
a
do
dessert
too.
In general.
I guess like mini pies. I'm going to say it's the Starbucks almond croissant, and I want them to bring it back, and this is the soapbox that I will stand on for the rest of the
segment.
That's
why they're not here anymore, because they weren't that good.
Yeah.
Why are you both
if they were the best,
me today?
If they were the best pastry, Starbucks would still have them on the menu.
From the 253, baklava. From the 208, a beignet.
also from the 253. Stacey, you doing okay?
I don't understand what you're talking about.
Stacey, how do you say almond croissant in French?
We're done with this segment. We're done. We're taking a look around the NFL next. Don't go anywhere.
The Mariners are all about giving you more baseball for your buck. With Mariners Value Games, you can snag seats for as little as $10 to select games all season long. To get your tickets and check out the complete Mariners Value Game schedule, go to mariners.com/valuegames.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Seattle Sports. 7:10 a.m. on your radio. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app. Get new videos, podcasts, and articles on the Seahawks and Mariners from your favorite Seattle sports personalities daily. Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Jim Harbaugh's made some odd changes to the Chargers locker room. From Chargers Unleashed podcast host Dan Wolkenstein, Jim Harbaugh's made some locker room changes. Not only are players rearranged numerically, but each player nameplate now shows their recruit level coming out of high school, non-ranked through five-star recruit level. Here's the deal, Bump. I have my take. Tell me what you think about this.
First off, why does where you were ranked in high school even matter at this point? You are all in the NFL. You are some of the best athletes in the world, Craig.
In the world.
Two, I think I'm okay with mixing the room up.
I like
that,
actually.
As far as players, you know, because you get, but obviously you're still going to have 0 through 30 be the smaller players. And then as the numbers get bigger, they grow. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to mix it up, really mix it up. Go by receiver, DB, lineman, D-line.
Go
and
by
keep that pattern.
Horoscope. I think that could be fun. You know what I mean? All the Geminis, y'all are in one corner. You're like, why are the defensive ends here? All the, you know what I mean? All the Tauruses, Cancers, y'all just get to go. Like, I say that jokingly. I don't genuinely mean to rearrange by horoscope.
That would be interesting.
It would be interesting. But the point is that I can understand the logic of a new head coach coming into a locker room saying, I want to make this culture great, and so I am going to have people intermingle that would not normally intermingle. If you have not been inside an NFL locker room, I have, though only with the Seahawks, and here's how it was. You are organized by position. So all the wide receivers are in one corner. Then there's the defensive backs, and then there's the linebackers, and then you curve around the corner, and there's the defensive ends and defensive linemen. All the offensive linemen and tight ends sit together. The quarterbacks all have their lockers together. So there's not a ton of intermingling with, for instance, the offensive linemen and the Seahawks were in the opposite corner of the defensive linemen. So I can see a head coach being like, you know what? I am going to make a kicker, a quarterback, and a safety who are all single digits. Let's say that safety has a single digit. We in one row, and people are going to get to know people they wouldn't normally talk to. I get it in theory. The five-star thing, I can only assume
That's
is this.
Dumb.
This is what I think he's doing. I think the point is, if you came out of high school as a five-star recruit, it doesn't matter because maybe there's a one-star or an unranked guy who's now a starter. But I think everyone by this point in their career has realized that. So that doesn't benefit them
anymore.
That's
dumb, Stacey.
I just don't. No,
that's a consignment.
I can't get behind it.
What the heck, man? I get mixing things up, but what does a ranking have to do with anything? I bet you he didn't do that in Michigan. But all right. Well here's the thing. John Harbaugh has won everywhere he's gone.
Right.
So
maybe he gets
I'm just going to sit back and let you do your thing and be a radio host and say, I don't agree with that.
Next up, Giants tight end Darren Waller remains undecided on his playing future after three straight injury-plagued seasons with Vegas and then with New York. He has missed 18 games combined over the last 3 years.
Man, health is everything. You want to be able to play with your kids. I don't know when him and wifey are going to plan on having kids. You can travel this summer to support the wife. And as she go, is it a three-peat or a back-to-back they're going for the A's, mm-hmm. Aces? But
it would be, would that be a three-peat?
I think it would be a three-peat. I think they went back-to-back. So, man, it's,
I should have thrown them in there.
I think people forget sometimes is how hard the game is on your body, especially when you're a big boy like Waller. So take your time, figure it out, but there's no rush.
Let's see. So I'm getting distracted by the text line is still going off about what qualifies as a pastry or not. Next story. NFL Network's Mike Garofolo reports that Florida State edge Jared Verse will visit the Seahawks tonight and tomorrow. He's projected to be a mid-first round pick, meaning that's your pick at number 16. What do you think about Jared Verse going edge rusher at pick number 16? Or maybe they trade slightly back, but he's not going late in the second.
I mean, I'm not mad at it. Who are your edges now? You got a Chinna Nwosu. You got Daryl Taylor. Boye. You got Derek Hall. You got Boye Mafe. You can add one to that group, but I think that defensive line is more of a need. I think offensive line is more of a need. You got guys at that spot who can develop, but we'll see.
Next up, 5 weeks ago, Zach Wilson was given permission to seek a trade from the Jets. He remains on their roster. ESPN's Rich Cimini reports a potential hang-up might be the Jets' unwillingness to attach a draft pick to Wilson in any trade because of what Wilson's owed in year four as a former number two overall pick.
Yeah, I mean, money complicates the situation for sure and what you think you should get out of that deal. Zach has not had the best career so far. So you might just want to stick to New York, chill, and learn.
I do feel for Zach Wilson, though there is an aspect of this that's like, but that's where your life drew you. Like, the Jets took you as a number two overall pick to be their future, and you're just not good enough. I feel for you that you're not playing behind a great offensive line, that you've been thrown into some bad situations, that they've moved on. At the same time, I don't know. My sympathy only goes so far when part of your performance was in your...
He got like $40 million in the bank.
That's what I'm saying. When part of your where you are is because you were overdrafted and you just didn't live up to hype. Like, you threw an amazing pass at your pro day, and then that's basically what made you a number two pick.
He was overdrafted and not supported enough, too. I mean, the Jets didn't help that situation either.
But I don't know that the Jets are ever going to... Like, Aaron Rodgers may prove me wrong should he be healthy and return to play and look amazing, but... The Jets just cannot for the life of them find a quarterback that works out. And I'm partly convinced it's the team in the front office and dysfunction there. I'm also convinced that it's the market and that it's really, really hard for a young player to feel confident in a market where New York media is just a different beast.
How many games do you think the Jets won last year?
Seven.
They won seven games. Aaron Rodgers is going to get you four or five in his own.
Yeah.
I think they make the playoffs this year. If they don't get it done, or at least get into the playoffs and win a game with Aaron Rodgers, it's never going down. But you got Garrett Wilson. You got Mike Williams. You got Breece Hall. Quinnen Williams resigned. You signed Hassan Reddick. Mm-hmm. You got Sauce Gardner. I'm telling you, if they don't do it this year, they're not going to do it.
A minor Seahawks move. Seattle's signed tackle Max Percher from the Lions. He's never appeared in a regular season game in his career, spent all of 2023 on Detroit's practice squad. Again, that's okay. That's why he's available. He was born in Italy. Shout out to my homeland. Played professionally in Germany and was part of the NFL's International Player Pathway Program.
Homeland, you been to Italy?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I just claim it.
You should, though. You gotta claim it.
Yeah.
A Max Percher.
I don't know this guy. I gotta look him up. No real analysis here.
Yeah.
Holla at me tomorrow.
I mean, but really, the real takeaway is it's okay if you need to Google a name that they've signed.
Well, they said free that was agency gonna be the case.
Exactly. Free agency started over a month ago. Those big names are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, like, I think you have this natural instinct of seeing a name and going, well, who's that? Anyone you're signing right now is going to be a who's that guy, unless it's someone like Jamal Adams, who is available because he was hurt and maybe is trying to be really selective with where he goes. So, again, it's okay that there's a who kind of signing for the Seahawks. That's the kind of depth that they need to add.
Yep.
All right, you guys, we are wrapping up Bump and Stacey with What I Need to Know before we get to the dugout, all Mariners from 1 to 2. Get your questions into the Mac and Jacks text line, 866-979-3776.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind. Until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stream every Seattle sports show with the Seattle Sports app. Brought to you by Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center. Get new videos, podcasts, and articles on the Seahawks and Mariners from your favorite Seattle sports personalities daily. Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
It's what I need to know. We are not done with the show. We're just done with Bumpin' Stacy, and then we are getting to the dugout. All Mariners from 1 to 2, Brandon Gustafson joining us to get things started. And then we're going to speak to Danny Farquhar to wrap things up to talk about pitching. So get your questions in, any question, to the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. What I need to know from Bryant, who called earlier. Are y'all watching Shogun on Hulu? It's like Game of Thrones is ancient Japan, and I don't have anyone to talk to about it. Oh, Brian, I'm sorry.
Brian, I'll start watching it this weekend so we can talk about it, because I have not, but I've heard a lot of good things about it.
I have heard very good things about it. I did start the first episode. Game of Thrones was for me, minus the final season. Shogun was not for me, but I recognize that it was a great show, and I do know people obsessed with it. So they're out there, Bryant. You just got to find them. Let's see. What I need to know. Where do you think Ty France should be in the Mariners lineup going forward? I'm not a fan of seeing him bat sixth or seventh given his hot start.
Love right. I move him down to three. I move him up to three. Sorry. Bump down Polanco. Go JP Julio. Ty. Yeah, that's where I put him. Number three. Where'd you put him? Where would you put him?
Cleanup's tough because that's so not where I would imagine him being in a rotation, or excuse me, in a lineup that has more talent. But that's how he's playing right now. Mm-hmm. 3-for-4 yesterday on a day when no one except for Dom Canzone can get much going. I know Cal and JP had home runs, but that was pretty much all they got. He's started out really well, and the top of your lineup is hurting you. Scott Service said, with Brock and Salk, the top of the lineup needs to get going. Like, that's the first step in us improving, is those guys need to get on base. Those guys need to make themselves, you know, available runs, and they're not. So it's going to be weird thinking that JP should be pushed back, but, like, I'm saying this the day after he hit a home run, but still. let's see. What I need to know. Oh, so in conclusion, I'll co-sign that right okay. now. I'm not, like, co-signing it as staying there, but
yeah. Give it a try.
Polanco at three isn't being as productive as Ty.
Give it a whirl.
Yeah, just try it out. If your life was made into a movie or TV show, what actor or actress would you want to play you?
What actor? I would want the guy from Snowfall to play me. The head dude. He's a British actor. I forgot his name. He was dating
I think I know who
Lori
you're talking
Harvey.
About.
Lori Harvey is her name. Lori Harvey.
Lori Harvey is the most beautiful person I've ever seen in my life.
You know.
Snowfall actors. I swear I know who you're talking about.
It's the British guy, but.
Does he play Franklin?
Damson Idris.
Franklin.
Okay. Whatever.
That's a character.
Yeah, Damson Idris.
I would have Lori Harvey play me. no, but I always get people being like, you look like Anna Kendrick. Which, like, I think she's funny. She has good comedic timing, but I don't know why that kind of is like, oh, I don't know. I don't like being a small person. Yeah, I'm going to go Jessica Alba. Because I make the rules. Let's see. What I need to know. The best place to get a cinnamon roll. You guys said cinnamon rolls were the best pastry. Are you really going to go with Cinnabon?
I've been.
Where else do you get cinnamon rolls from?
There's some you can make them.
You can make them anywhere.
Yeah, and I'm gonna call it Cinnabon because my whole life that's what we called it, Cinnabon.
Do you feel like you've been living a lie?
I've been living a lie my whole life. Yeah,
I get it.
I want to know if there's like a place around these parts that makes like those giant cinnamon rolls that are like, you know, 4 or 5 pounds. Mm-hmm. You see them all the time on like Food Network and stuff. I don't know if there's any place around here that does that.
What I need to know, why the focus on 95 plus pitching? We've been talking about pitcher injuries. When Jamie Moyer succeeded forever with an 81 mile per hour fastball.
I mean, Moyer was such an outlier.
Yeah.
Like, he also had tremendous command, could hit his spots like nobody's business. but if you're throwing 81 right now, that's batting practice for a lot of these guys.
Yeah, I just think the game has changed so much. And when you do look at outliers, like you said, Curtis, it's like, in some ways, the more modern version I can think of is Patrick Mahomes with his throwing motion being mm-hmm. like, well, why can't you just do that? And it's like, what works for Patrick Mahomes is not going to work for anyone else.
Nah, unorthodox mm-hmm. for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Right, because it really doesn't work for most people. It's a fair question in terms of like, hey, why are we putting our arms in harm's way and making our bodies do things they're not supposed to do when a more safe version has worked for other people? But it's because that's just where the league's kind of developing. And so Justin Verlander, the cut that I didn't play you guys, was him saying maybe we change how the incentives work for pitchers. So maybe you start incentivizing pitchers to go later in games, pitch more complete games, and that while it doesn't sound like it, that might encourage them to put a little less.
Nah, I think them throwing hard is because that's what's required to have success. Just incentivizing going late, I don't think it would... I don't think you can incentivize them to go late and they'll be like, all right, I'm just not going to throw as hard because you still get lit up. Yeah. I think they have to.
Curtis, this listener wants to know your thoughts on WrestleMania 40.
I haven't watched the entire thing because I had to do the Mariners postgame that day, but I have seen the finish. And yeah, Cody finished the story, everybody. Shout out to Cody Rhodes.
Right. We were just
going to. Grandson of
Bump Plumber. And I were just going to say that.
Yeah.
Just going to say that.
Was The Rock, what was his appearance like in that deal?
Yeah, he was there. He got chokeslammed by The Undertaker in the final match. And it was all part of kind of Roman Reigns seeing all these guys that have had storylines with him come back to haunt him in a way. It was a great time.
We had four different texters tell us Maltby Cafe.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
okay.
telling you. The whole text line blew up saying Maltby Cafe for cinnamon rolls.
If you go to Maltby Cafe, man, there's going to be a wait. That thing is always cracking.
Have you been there? Have you had the cinnamon rolls?
I have not.
Well, now you know what you need to do. Someone said, I just had to Google Lori Harvey. Wow. All right. She is one of the most, her and Margot Robbie are two of the most beautiful people I've seen. It's just, oh my God. Like, how does someone look like that? I have no idea. Let's see. What I need to know. You guys, give me more questions here. 866-979-3776. Would you want the Mariners to go after Zach Greinke? Maybe Hancock needs to be sent down or depth for potential injuries? Question mark.
Sure, why not? Emerson, not getting her done.
Greinke was not good last year.
Bring up anybody. You know what? I know a guy named Brady Bones who might be able to help.
Brady!
He's
shaking his head.
What is Brady? Brady, what do you throw?
Brady, they'll pay you in Monster Energy drinks.
No, you don't throw it? You don't? No?
Brady doesn't throw anymore.
No?
He's on the shelf.
Is he going to be allowed to, like, smoke a cigarette on the mound?
Whoa.
No? I'm just imagining Brady is this old school, like, really, like, a 1970s style.
You know what that wind-up where, like, throw their hands back and forth a few times? Like,
yeah. Brady just... Yeah. They're like, bro, it's BP right now. What are you doing? Get off the mound. Let's see. That's all my questions. It's just people telling. You guys, this is the thing. When we get off the rails, now people are just telling us where to go get cinnamon rolls, and I have no more questions. But I do have lots of suggestions for cinnamon rolls, so it still worked out for
me. Must mean it's a really great pastry. Maybe even the best.
Maybe the best. Some say.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough. We aren't going anywhere, but we are becoming the dugout. All Mariners from 1 to 2. Brandon Gustafson joining us next to get things started. Don't go anywhere.